This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
The Word of God comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 34, or 44 through 45. Well, it's supposed to be longer than that. We'll see how much is on the screen. And I'll just keep reading. And if it's on the screen, great. If not, you all just listen. So hear now the word of God. Jesus said to them, "There are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and will rise from the dead on the third day. And the change of hearts and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending to you what my father promised, but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." He led them out as far as Bethany, where he lifted his hands and blessed them. And as he blessed them, he lifted them and was taken up to heaven. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem, overwhelmed with joy, and they were continuously in the temple praising God. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had one of those eureka moments in your life? Aha moments? You know, when something all of a sudden, it hits you and it makes complete sense. And without any warning, just out of your mouth shouts, "Aha!" When I was 12 years old, I remember having one of these moments very vividly. It was my first time in Disney World, and I was very excited. And we were taking a backlot tour of the MGM studios. And we passed a bunch of old movie props. As we passed, our tour guide kind of pointed out a few of them that everyone knew, and one kind of stuck with me, and I was trying to figure out, like, where have I seen this before? And it's this that is on the screen right now. This silver teardrop-shaped mound of metal. Then our tour guide said, "To your right is the ship from the popular movie Flight of the Navigator." And once he mentioned it, without warning, the words just kind of flew out of my mouth, and before I could stop them, I said really loud, "That's right." Now, I know it doesn't seem like much, but to my 12-year-old self, it was embarrassing because everyone there on the trolley kind of turned around and looked at me or laughed. But I couldn't help it. All the connections in my mind worked, and the words just flew out as a reaction. This happens to us all the time. We're going through a book in youth that walks through the Bible. It's called Manna and Mercy. And as we kind of tell the story of the Bible, you can tell some of the youth are getting some things here and there, and you can hear them go, oh yeah, or "That's right." I hope some of the I hear maybe during a sermon is that some things are maybe connecting, or that you're maybe enjoying your gum or your coffee or whatever you're chewing on. But we all have these eureka moments, and they should not be embarrassing. They should be celebrated. Because it's in these moments that we're not in control. Our minds have made a connection, and our bodies and our souls react uncontrollably. It is truly wonderful and a miraculous part of being a human being. There's a eureka moment in the scripture passage today. There is a place where the disciples, they finally get it. They sat back and went, "Eureka, I got it." Finally, after holding this gift for the last couple of weeks, they've been able to open it and to see what and how and who they have been wondering all about. They, the disciples, for the first time get it, and they uncontrollably go into worship as a result. You see, they finally opened their gift. They opened it, and when they did, they had an aha moment. Each of us, we all have that same gift. We just have to allow ourselves to open it in order for all the pieces of the puzzle to all come together. This doesn't happen naturally, though. The disciples didn't collectively look at all the evidence in front of them and piece the puzzle together. Even though they were standing there with the risen Lord, the one they had watched be put to death, Jesus told them over and over again what was going on, what happened, and why. The disciples listened, and they still didn't get it. It's in these last moments of Christ here on earth. The scripture says he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Christ helped them finally see what it meant, what he meant by all the parables, all the references to the Old Testament, all the healings and all the questions and all the miracles. Everything the disciples had witnessed in the last 3 years finally made sense. They came to the realization of why Christ died, was buried, and on a third day rose again. Although they had witnessed the resurrection, they still didn't get it. I mean, they ate, as we've gone over this last week, they've ate, they've listened, they've fished, they've touched the resurrected Christ. They saw the gift right in front of them, and they never opened it. What is this gift, though? What do we all have to do? What do we all have that only few of us actually open? This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. That is our gift. The gift is the resurrection. It all makes sense now. Christ came to earth to die for our sins. He defeated death so that we can be in the presence of God once again. And since I know this, that I've opened the gift, I need to then share it with the rest of the world. Aha! Eureka! We have to share this with the rest of the world. We can't just keep this gift to ourselves. Now that we understand what has happened and why, we just can't sit back and prop up our feet. The scripture says that we are witnesses to these things. They had been witnesses to tell the rest of the world. And this means that for the disciples and now for us, it is the moment when our work begins. This is when we profess, I have witnessed the risen Christ. Today we celebrate Ascension Sunday. And on this day we celebrate the fact that Jesus left this world and went to be with his Father. This is a celebration because of what is left behind. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Jesus' last two actions on this earth were to open up the scriptures for the disciples and to bless them. Jesus doesn't bless them and then ascend. It's actually he continues to bless them as he travels from this world to the next. It's a continual motion that we still see today. We follow Christ's example each week when we come to worship. Each week there is a dismissal with a blessing. Anybody know what we call that in our acts of worship? Benediction, that's right. The book of worship says that the dismissal with blessing or the benediction is to send people into ministry with the Lord's blessing. What it actually says is the dismissal with blessing, often called the benediction, is given by the pastor facing the people. It is addressed to the people, not to God. And the pastor and people appropriately look at each other as it is given. For this reason, it should be given from the front, not the back of the sanctuary. So where do I give it every week? Right up here. Up front. You all are supposed to be looking back at me. Some of you bow your heads, which, you know, that's fine, but you're supposed to be looking at me so I can look at you and send you out with a blessing. The point is of me saying the benediction is to give you energy, give you motivation, and give you one last blessing to go out and to do the work of God. Soon we're going to have like 20-ish college-aged young adults around here for a week running Windshape Camp. There is something special about being in your late teens, early 20s. You have like endless energy, and you can go just all day long. I've also witnessed, not just at Windshape, but when I'm pastor of the week up at Camp Tocoa, these late teens, early 20s had the same energy level at 7 a.m. as they do at 7 p.m. or even 10 p.m. Some of you might remember this gentleman in the green shirt here in the baseball cap. Since I got COVID that week, I was out after Tuesday, so I forget his name. But I remember him running around absolutely everywhere. He would go and lead worship. He'd do the field time and lead chants. He would then be running here and there with the campers. And for what Natalie told me, he had as much energy on day one as he did on day five. And plus, last summer, we were on week three, so he'd already done this 2 weeks prior. He was tapping into some source of energy that I just don't have anymore. I mean, think about it. How many of y'all have similar stories? Last week after church, Walt and Charlie went to go play on our new playground, and they ended up playing for an hour and a half straight and had to be pulled off to be taken home. I'm sure you have watched your children or your grandchildren just run around and have so much fun that you wish you could have that type of energy again. The good news is, as a church, we can have that same energy. We can have the same energy as the disciples had back when they had their aha, eureka moment, as Jesus Christ left the earth, blessing them to be a witness. When disciples felt this blessing, the scripture said, then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually in the temple, praising God. Y'all ever had that feeling? That you're filled with such great joy that you can't hide it? You have one of those moments in life when you have so much joy in your face, people need to wear sunglasses just to simply be around you. I had that almost 21 years ago on May 25th, 2002, when Alicia and I were married. My cheeks hurt because I was smiling so much that day. It was a great day. We had a ton of fun, and I got to marry my high school sweetheart and the love of my life. Our anniversary is coming up, so I'm kissing up a little bit. But I also had the same grin when I get to show off my replicated DNA found in Dean and Campbell. We all have these moments in life when we kind of beam with great joy. The joy is that we're able to receive here in worship too. That's what we're reminded about when we finally get to the benediction. Many people have a great moment of joy when we get to the benediction because that means the service is coming to a close. We can go home or we can at least go to lunch. But the joy the disciples felt comes after the benediction. And to me, it is one of the most important aspects of our worship. This past week, as I mentioned, I was at Duke Divinity School on Monday and Tuesday being trained on how to supervise our field education intern, Jessica. And I feel Jessica is going to be a great fit for us over the summer, and we look forward to having her first Sunday in a couple of weeks. But I got to have a service in this chapel, which is called Goodson Chapel, which is the chapel in the Divinity School. This was built after I was in school there, and so this is the first time I got to worship in this space. And I love how they used clear windows and just let God's creation be the colors for those windows as they change every season. But being in those halls again, I went down memory lane to some of my favorite professors and some of the times that I had with friends there. There was a professor called Christine, who's a speech pathologist, who helps us in our preaching class. She did a talk about, you know, how you're supposed to really stand when you are leading worship, how you're to read scripture and things not to do and things not to say while leading worship. And one of the things I constantly think about is her lesson on how to do the benediction. She said you need to stand up in front of the people and hold your arms out wide and hold your hands at a 45-degree angle. These are her words. Think about reflecting laser beams of grace onto your congregation. So if I pause during the benediction, all I'm thinking is, pew, 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 pew. I remember this, and I think about shedding grace upon you all as we go out into the world. I'm also glad that our youth are starting to learn the United Methodist Youth Fellowship benediction, which comes from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. And so each week we have gathered, we circled up, crossed arms, and said together, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. I said that benediction countless times as a youth and as a youth minister. And the official United Methodist Youth Fellowship benediction is a reminder that everything the Lord leaves us, the Lord blesses us and keeps us. His face shines upon us as gracious. He lifts up his approval or his countenance and he gives us peace. When we have that type of support, that type of blessing, we can go out into the world and accomplish anything. That should be our weekly eureka moment, our aha moment. That is when we should all come together and be understood of what our job is. That is why we leave worship with a blessing. That is why Jesus left this world, blessing the disciples all the way up. We are called into action, given the power and the strength to accomplish it, and then called back every week to refuel for another week of work. And all God's people said, Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your gift and for your blessing. And now may as we continue our acts of worship, may you continue to call us into action. May the true work of being a follower of you, being a witness to your resurrection, follow us beyond these walls and out into the world. For you give us strength, you give us wisdom, you give us power, grace, and forgiveness. So may we truly understand and accept this gift in front of us. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.